Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's 91 degrees out there, so a couple of degrees cooler than yesterday, but still incredibly hot. On today's show, the Supreme Court decision on the Affordable Care Act expected in the next week or so, but one MSU professor predicting how they'll rule when it comes to the personal mandate. Stick around to find out what he says. And millennials, they're young, many are unemployed, but what's ahead for them and for our country when they start running things? I'll talk to an author of two books about this new generation. But first, the agreement signed by Governor Snyder last Friday with Canada to proceed with an over $2 billion bridge project between Detroit and Windsor, now being looked at a little more closely by both supporters and opponents, as the fight over the plan is likely to now go on and into high gear. One man that has taken a close look at the crossing agreement is Richard McClellan, a longtime Lansing attorney and founding member of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Richard, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Hello, Michael. Glad to be here.
Now, I know you were an advisor for former Governor John Engler, and it's reported that you were the one to tell Governor Snyder that he could pursue the bridge project through an interlocal agreement with Canada, bypassing the legislature. Is that a conversation that you had with him?
No. Don't forget that Governor Snyder was the original chairman of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, which assumed all the powers of the strategic fund under an interlocal agreement. He also used the interlocal agreement to create his Education Achievement Authority. He's probably the best, most knowledgeable about interlocal agreements as anybody. I think he knew that I had been involved in creating the MEDC, and I think that may be the source of this idea that somehow I had had a lot to do with it. I don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's on the right track, and I had obviously talked with him about the interlocal agreement issue when he was creating the Education Achievement Authority. So I think that's where that rumor got started, and my good friend Phil Power put a little gas on the fire, and there's just enough truth to it that it made a good story. But I as far as I'm concerned, it was the governor's idea and
his own. But
let
me ask you though: do you think that this is very likely the most dramatic use of the interlocal agreement by pursuing this bridge project when the legislature has clearly indicated that it's not very sure about it?
I don't think it's that dramatic, and I'll tell you why. The Michigan Constitution decided in 1963, the voters, to permit agreements with Canada. In 1967, the legislature implemented the law that very specifically authorized agreements with Canada. That law was amended four different times. They never changed the name, except to change the name from Dominion of Canada to Canada, because Canada changed their own name. So it's been on the books a long time, and I don't agree with this idea that they went around the legislature. But here's what happened. The legislature had an opportunity to do a Michigan-Canada bridge. There would be a joint bridge. The governor's agreement provides that Canada will build a bridge, and it'll land in Michigan. And Michigan has a much more limited role. They're not paying anything. They have a certain involvement, but it's a very different deal. So what the legislature rejected and what the governor assigned with the Prime Minister of Canada are quite different things.
I see.
They
were
two different ways to get to a bridge, but they were very different.
Your analysis, in fact, confirms all that. You point out that, hey, look, this is essentially a Canadian bridge, and our role is apparently just an advisory one. What does that mean, though, for us, considering that obviously the bridge does end up on Michigan soil? Will we have any say in the project if there's some disagreement?
Well, we had some very big say at the front end. We had to decide that we wanted to do it. We had to decide on the site. Those were all studies that were done, and they make reference to the site. Secondly, this international authority, of which Michigan has three of six members, they have very specific authority, not only to advise, but to approve certain things, to approve the P3 agreement, to approve the process. And what it means is that once they approve the details, then the administration of it is under the Canadian government, because the Canadians have much more experience with large, what are called P3 projects. So I think it was a very good allocation of responsibility. It's not what was originally proposed under Governor Granholm. It's a significant change, but I think it protects Michigan's interest, particularly if Michigan doesn't want to pay for the bridge.
Now, Michigan, you're saying, owns none of the bridge. What about the plaza on our side of the bridge?
Well, we own. If you read the agreement very carefully, it's very interesting how they break out the different elements of the bridge. There's the bridge, the approach, the plaza, and they are all different sort of parts of an overall process. Then there's the I-75, and there is the Canadian motorway that it attaches into. So you have a bridge. Don't forget, a bridge is just a road over water in one respect. It's part of a road system. So, yes, there will be certain parts of it that will be owned by the federal government or the Canadians or the U.S. So there are parts of it. It's not that Michigan doesn't have a role in it, but we get the benefit of the Canadians paying for a bridge that drops off across the river, hooks up to our interstate road system, mm-hmm. and the Homeland Security and customs, U.S. customs issues, will be in a plaza that the U.S. customs will require. There'll be a plaza on either side because Canadians have customs too. So
certainly,
it's a very efficient operation to take care of the thousands of trucks that will be going across that bridge.
I'm talking to Richard McClellan, longtime Lansing attorney, and we're talking about this agreement signed by the governor last Friday with Canada. Now, Richard, a major point of contention is whether voters can overrule this agreement with a ballot proposal, which the Maroons are now backing. It looks like they're going to have enough signatures to get it on the ballot. Governor's office saying the agreement indicates that no changes in state law can overrule this agreement. But Wayne State Law professor Robert Sedler, who's currently advising and consulting the Maroon company, said that, quote, the suggestion that an agreement can prevent the people of Michigan from amending the Constitution is absolutely ridiculous. What is your response to that?
Well, Professor Sedler is a smart guy. I sent him my analysis, and like any good lawyer, he's finding the bits and pieces that support his side. Let me put it this way. I don't think that language in the agreement is sufficient to stop Michigan from amending a constitution. Michigan can certainly go forward, and if they want to say in the future, any new bridge, we get to vote on it. That's a public policy matter. They could have done it 2 years ago, and it would have had an effect. They didn't do it. It's not the law. This agreement was done under the Constitution that's in place today, has been for 50 years, a statute that's been in place for almost 45 years. So that agreement properly says this is done under the law in effect today. And the question, a different question is, if it's adopted, is Matty Maroon then going to be going to court and undo an international agreement between two sovereigns that's done under the authority of the United States government, which has the power to say all international agreements? I don't think the voters in Michigan should be able to undermine, if they just change their mind, an agreement between two sovereigns.
I see. Now,
that is the argument. That is the issue. It's not whether we can amend the Constitution. It's whether we can... Mr. Maroon can effectuate a retroactive application of that constitutional amendment. I don't think he can.
I guess when you look at the issue as a whole, I mean, essentially one person, the governor on his own, was able to come to this agreement to allow this huge $2 billion.
I don't agree. Okay. Michael, you're wrong on that. You're wrong on that. The people of Michigan authorized read the Constitution. The people of Michigan authorized an agreement. The legislature authorized any public agency of the state to enter into agreements. The governor is the executive, has the executive power. Most agreements are executive functions. They're not legislative functions. They are. So I agree there's sort of a facial sense that, well, somehow he's doing it on his own. Well, yeah, he negotiated an agreement. Who is to negotiate with foreign powers except the governor? Ultimately that'll all be sorted out in court, but I don't agree that it's either an end run around the legislature or that the government of Michigan, meaning the people of Michigan and the legislature, didn't create the framework for the agreement.
Let me ask you then, when it comes to the legal challenges that are certainly going to follow here, which of that do you think there is a potential serious challenge that could derail the agreement? And how long of a process do you expect this to take? 2, 3, 5 years even?
Okay. Let me say one thing for absolute sure. $2 billion project, there's going to be many lawyers who are going to make a lot of money on both sides of the issue, and there will be lawsuits. There always are. That's the way we do things in our society. Do I think it'll stop the bridge? No. I think that this is an airtight agreement. I was very impressed with the work that the lawyers did on it, and I never saw it until it was issued after the public meeting on Friday, and I got it on the website like everybody else, but I read it, and I think it was a very good job. Now, I think there will be litigation that will drag on if Mr. Maroon feels compelled to do it, and he's trying to protect his asset. But I don't think it'll stop the bridge. Again, I think there's one thing to have litigation pending. There's another thing to stop it, because he will bring a lawsuit and saying his value is being lost on his bridge, and therefore he's entitled to damages. That's very different than being able to go in and get an injunction to stop an international agreement. Normally, one private party can't go in and stop, the government, a sovereign government of Canada, and an agreement done under U.S. auspices. Well, so, yeah, there'll be litigation. Will they be able to stop it? I doubt it.
Okay, just a minute left. But it is interesting that on our side of this issue, there's apparently quite a lot of disagreement by state lawmakers. Yet on the Canadian side, there's so much desire to proceed that they're willing to fund this entire project, essentially, other than the private interests involved. What do you make of these two very different views on a project that is going to be mutually beneficial?
I think that our Michigan legislature are quite ignorant of the impact of our being involved in a global economy. I think there is some, with term limits, you have a legislature that, surprisingly, this particular legislature is particularly obtuse on some of these issues. This is a huge impact on the state, and this state has been going downhill for years. So I think they have a lot to learn. I think they will learn, but it's also very close in the legislature. So it may be that at the end of the day, they'll end up being supportive.
Long time Lansing attorney Richard McClellan. Richard, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your insight this evening.
You're welcome.
We will be right back to talk about the potential sale of former GM plants and lands here in Lansing and actually all over the country that is now going at full steam. We'll get the details on what's likely to happen next, especially here in Lansing. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.